We're twins. We're twins. Yes, sir.
I mean, how many times have you seen Dances with Wolves? 100, 200? Oh, jeez. You have seen it that many times, haven't you?
Hallie, we're like twins.
People never seen an Indian do stand-up comedy before, you know? Like, for so long, you probably thought that Indians never had a sense of humor, you know? We never thought you were too funny either.
Welcome to the Space Jam.
It's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam. All right.
Wave your hands in the air if you feel fine. We're gonna send it into overtime. Welcome to the Space Jam. It's your chance. Do your dance at the
dance. What? I'm sorry, what? Your dance. And again, world, Kara ruins everything. Do your jants. What do you do when you get up in the morning? What gets your engines revving? I get up and I do my jants.
Okay, I get tongue-tied. I'm very open about this.
I get very tongue-tied,
too. It's not a secret, and people over the years have made fun of me.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I suffer from the same affliction.
It's fine. And I don't get offended because it's truly an accidental speech pattern.
I feel like my brain glitches when it happens.
It's definitely me. There's almost like a delay, and I'm not trying to like self-diagnose here, but there's like a delay between what I have the words in my head. I have the lyrics in my head.
Yeah. But it like jumps ahead and like...
I get tongue-tied. It's literally that. My favorite time...
Well, it's not literally that, because your tongue's not an actual...
Okay, not literally. It's
figuratively,
famously is the correct way that you say that. But one of my favorite times I got tongue-tied recently was when we were doing our rants and raves.
Uh-huh.
And I was raving about Britney Spears, I think. And I said... What did I say? I meant to say she is free... But it came out, she is tree.
That's right, yeah.
And no shame. No shame in my tongue-tied game. I don't care.
I can't remember, like, any time, like, I got tongue-tied where, like, it was, like, memorable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I always remember someone who we knew in college. We were doing, like, an audition or something. And he was supposed to say the line, "You're not playing with a full deck, are you?"
Yeah.
He said, "You're not playing with a full dick, are you?"
Yep, I remember that.
We were singing Space Jam. Space Jam. That's so weird, because, like, well, this is dark.
Oh.
It's not funny. Let me go ahead and say it. Well, I don't know. I don't know if any of you all who are listening are familiar with, like, Michael Jordan's story with like what happened to his dad was murdered, and we are also from North Carolina, is what you might know that Michael Jordan is also from, and his father was murdered not that far from where we lived.
Mm-hmm.
And his car was found right down the road from where Kara and I grew up. Mm-hmm. Like literally around the corner.
Yep.
It's all a bad story. I don't know why I'm bringing that. Well, the reason why I brought it, I was researching that case. I was Googling that case this morning because I hadn't thought about it in a long time, and something mm-hmm. reminded me about it.
Yeah.
And then seeing Space Jam, it's just a weird... Why? I'm a rambler.
You're a rambling man.
I am. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. What we're here to talk about today is 3, 2, 1,
high school.
We totally like felt each other's energy on that one.
I knew how you were going to say it, so I matched your energy.
No, you didn't, because I wasn't going to say it that way. But when it starts,
yeah, were. You were always going to say it that way.
No, I was going to say high school. That's how I was going to say it. And then you took a different path. I was like, okay, let me meet you where you are.
Let's try that again with something else. Let's say ketchup and mustard.
Okay, let's do it with our eyes closed.
Okay. We're saying ketchup and mustard on 3.
3. 2. Wait, on 3?
on one.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Ketchup and mustard.
Nope. I was not going that way.
Yeah, see?
I was going to say ketchup and mustard.
Ew. Disgusting. Why would you say it that
way? I thought that's how you were going to say it.
No.
Okay, fine. All right, high school.
High school. Musical.
Not just high school.
Right. But High School Musical came out famously when we were in high school.
It did, yeah. So what about high school?
Well, Kara, where did you attend high school?
Oh, man.
You don't still go there. It's not a privacy issue.
It's not a privacy issue, but, like, I haven't said the name of our high school in forever.
Just say it now.
It was Cape Fear High School.
Which I always thought was cool because, like, oh, my God, our high school is the name of a movie, Cape Fear, which I've only ever seen part of because it scares me.
I've actually never seen that movie. I'm familiar with it. Juliette Lewis.
Robert De Niro, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Is it a horror? It's not horror. It's like a thriller.
It's definitely like a suspense, at least.
I just know like there's like some violence in it, and that the thought of that scared me, so I never watched it. But yeah, and the mascot was Kara. I mean, the mascot was not Kara. I'm asking you.
we were the Cape Fear Colts.
That's right. Which is, I never understood why sports teams call themselves the Colts, because isn't that a baby horse?
Yeah, I think that a colt is a baby. No.
That's a foal.
A foal.
What's a colt? I feel like
C-O-L-T.
Not U-L-T.
Wait, I was going to say, those are the wild bucking horses, but that's a bronco.
Famously bucking broncos, yeah.
I'm horse ignorant. Yeah, but we were the Cape Fear Colts. I do say were, because definitely some people we went to high school with still say
Colt pride! Go Colts! Go Cape Fear! God.
I don't understand.
I've never been a person to contain even an ounce of school spirit of any sort.
No.
The colors were, technically, I think they were gold and blue.
Mm-hmm.
But it was always like yellow, not gold.
Right.
And we're going to reveal that we graduated in the year 2008.
Why are you revealing?
Because it gives context. Because, like, if we graduated
I understand.
20 years ago, that's different.
Why is that a reveal? Are you ashamed of our agedness?
I'm not ashamed. But it's weird to think, like, how long it's been.
Okay.
It is weird. I mean, this year will be 10 years since we graduated college.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
In fact, this week it will be 10 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. True.
But yeah, 2008. What was the world like in 2008? The world
in 2008 was like this. It wasn't quite 2002, but it felt like 2002. And I say that doesn't make any sense. I say that because of the pop culture was insane in 2007, 2008. It was a simpler time.
In ways, certainly, yes.
Yeah. We had gotten cell phones at some point in high school.
Yes.
Could we text on those phones?
Not the first. We had two different cell phones.
I'm thinking of those little flip phones we had.
We had two different flip phones in college. High school. Because the first ones we got, they were so basic. They still had, like, the green screen.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about.
And you couldn't text on those. At least not technically. I remember, like, getting text messages from, like, wrong numbers. But I didn't even know how to, like, send a text back or if I could. Because, like, you had to have a specific plan to text.
Yeah. Remember nights and weekends?
That is so crazy. Yeah, you couldn't make calls except for, like, or, like, you get charged extra or something. Yeah, I mean,
minutes. Oh, the whole thing of, like, having minutes on your phone.
It's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, that's where the world was. What were we talking about?
Texting. So we ended up getting, like, a newer, slightly newer phone, like, towards the end of high school that was also a flip phone. You had, like, a green one and I had a red one.
Mm-hmm.
Those were camera phones.
Yeah.
And you could, like, actually store music and play music from that phone. Not well, but you could. But on those, you could text. And I remember thinking, like, I don't like this texting thing. Well, it was way harder to text then. Because you had that T9, isn't that what it was called?
Yeah.
And you had to hit like the same button over and over again to get the letter you needed.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that. What a time.
What a time. Who do you remember being like topping the charts? Like what music was popular?
Oh,
like
man.
Songs, do you remember?
I remember Fergie was like a thing.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah.
What year did Fergalicious come out?
That had to be like 2007?
Yeah. I would Google it right now, but my phone's about to die.
Yeah. Well, it's not that important.
Wait, what was that other song she had?
Fergalicious, Glamorous.
That's what I'm thinking about.
Big Girls Don't Cry.
Jeez, yeah. There's that one. Wasn't like, that's when Gwen Stefani.
Oh my God, yeah. She also went solo. Love, Angel Music Baby. A bit problematic.
Yeah.
The Harajuku curls of it all.
Mm-hmm.
But there was some hits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool was on there. The Great Music Video.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the other one? Oh, Bubble Pop Electric was also really good.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Oh, you know what I remember? My lip gloss is popping. My lip gloss is cool.
Lil Mama. Yeah.
Katy Perry, I remember, came out like really big, like, I think like our senior year of high school.
Probably.
Also very problematic at the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not.
It was a different time. It was a way different time. You know, and two, us living in North Carolina, that had some effect. Like, there was a lot of like, we particularly lived in like in a fairly conservative town, but I do remember, I was thinking about this earlier, there were like a few, like a small few, but very brave and admirable group of out gay students at the school.
I think about that a lot.
I mean, that would be so hard at that time.
I know.
At any time, but yeah, I don't know. I really applaud everyone who was out then, feel for everyone who couldn't, because you really couldn't, like it was not a safe space to be out, and like I can't even imagine, like,
yeah,
you know what everyone had to deal with who was living there as a gay person.
Mm-hmm.
Either in the closet or out, like, God,
yeah,
that's privilege. I didn't have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like homophobia back then, particularly where we lived, it was so ingrained that, like, to the point where, like, I don't think I even noticed it until I got, like, to high school and started realizing, well, I'll tell you what, one of the biggest times I was like, whoa, this is wrong, which sounds stupid, like, upon reflection and, like, knowing everything I know now, but, like, one of our friends' moms was... At the time, I think I learned more about her later, but at the time, like, a normal-seeming lady and a very, like, nice, well-mannered lady. And I remember being in the car with her once with some of our friends, and we had dropped another friend of ours off who was openly gay, a gay male, and her, like, going into this monologue after he got out of the car about, like, how it was wrong and how his parents should try to basically, like, make him convert to being straight or something like that. And I remember thinking, like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
It was just so messed up. And it was like, oh, okay, here's the unraveling of all, like, the ingrained homophobia from this area and from the culture at large. I mean, like, American, like, society.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm glad that it's better, like, kids today, and I just know this from, like, seeing people, like, on TikTok and stuff like that, like, they're so much more open, and not to say that it's any easier, because I'm sure in many places it's not,
mm-hmm.
But it seems like there's at least, well, I mean, there's the internet, you have people you can connect to, even if there's not people near you that you can connect with, or if there's mm-hmm. not, like, a gay straight alliance or similar organization at a high school or something, like, there is an online community.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, like, I mean, the internet obviously existed, but it was not, like, we had, oh my God. Actually, this might be a good pivot. You remember MySpace?
Yeah. What do you mean, do I remember? Yeah, I remember MySpace.
Well, speak on that, Kara.
MySpace was a place to hang online. A website, myspace.com. Started by that guy Tom, who, like, turned around.
Like a poem. MySpace.com. Started by that guy, Tom.
That's a good song.
It is.
Look what I just came up with.
The MySpace song.
Looking over shoulder. Wanted. I don't know.
Feel my boulder? Damn, I'm getting older. I can tell by my selfie.
What?
Everyone had like a selfie with like, we were like duck lips.
Duck lips,
scene style, emo style.
Yeah, bathroom mirror selfies with crap all over the bathroom mirror.
Yes. Oh God, thank God that doesn't, I mean, it's still a thing, but not like it was. Remember top 8 on MySpace?
Jeez, yeah.
Oh my God. Or like, I think eventually you could change the number to like a custom number.
Yeah, I can't, you could. I remember you could change it to like, you could have a top 15, you could have a top 4.
For the youngins, explain what that is.
Oh, so you'd have a profile, like similar to like, I guess, you know, you could say like a Facebook profile, even though that's
way becoming messier.
It was, I remember you could like change the colors, you could customize it.
Yeah, which sounds like a good thing, but it was bad.
It was a mess. You do the thing where you type your about me, it's like, I'm a real cool chick, and like capital C, lowercase O, capital O, lowercase L, capital C, you know, that, and then like asterisk, 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 exclamation point.
I'd have a neurological episode just trying to read that.
Yeah. And I remember you could rig your profile to where it would play music obnoxiously when somebody would come on.
And be blasting this music that like probably only that person liked.
Yeah, it was terrible. But top 8 was where you could display your top people, like your best friends or whoever. You know, I don't know who else you would have other than your friends, but
yeah, because it's like Facebook where you would have a bunch of friends on there or whatever, and then he's like, oh, but these are my top friends, the people I like the best.
Right, and it gave you like a shortcut to like their profiles.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and like the thrill of getting on someone's top 8, unless it was someone they were like, oh no, I'm not their friend like that. Yeah, because that would happen sometimes where it'd be like, I don't really know them like that, or I don't really like them like that, or
I can't. The only person I can remember, like I'm sure I was on your top 8. You were on mine. I can only remember being on one other person's top 8, and it was that guy that had that crush on me in high school.
Oh my God. Yeah, I know you're talking about.
I'm not going to bring up names, but
let's call him I'm trying to come up with a similar name, but not too similar. Let's call him Jim.
Okay. But it's not even a big deal. Like, I never, like, had, you know.
No, but I have a story about Jim.
Oh, God. No, don't disparage people. I think
that's not disparaging.
What's the story?
I just remember he would always, like, call you and leave you voicemail.
Okay, I thought you had a different story.
Well, I do have a different story, but
I know you do, and we're not going to tell it.
All I'll say is he displayed a very, very odd behavior once when he thought no one could see him.
Yeah,
and it was kind of disturbing.
Yeah, we'll leave that one alone. But yeah, he used to call me and leave voicemails, and yeah, it got to be a lot.
It was a lot.
I don't remember how I dealt with that, or I don't remember.
You're that one guy who had a crush on you, and let's call this guy Nathaniel. And every time, the first letter's the same. That's his real name.
Okay, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. And every time Nathaniel would see Kara, he would go, what's cracking, Kara? Yep. Every time. What's cracking, Kara?
Yep. He's one that I had no idea had a crush on me until, like, the last damn day of school.
I figured he had to because, like, he always made it a point to talk to you.
I just thought we were friends. I just thought, like, because for whatever reason in different classes, it wasn't an alphabetical thing, but we would get sat next to each other. I just thought we were kicking it, you know?
It's cracking. No, he was, like, very, like, I think he was, like, on the football team and, like, more like jock.
Yeah, but he was a nice guy.
He was nice.
You know,
I like how he had to qualify, but he was a nice guy. But, well, there was a lot of jock asshole. I think this just comes with the territory. Like, if you're, like, an overprivileged male, and then you get this ego stroke of, like, football team? Oh, my God, that must mean you're something. that we should all bow down to. No.
Yeah.
Although I feel like at our school, sports were important, but I feel like the main focus went to the band.
The band, the marching band.
Yeah, they were like a big deal and they got like a bunch of awards and stuff.
Yeah, supposedly they were very good. I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know. I mean, it all kind of, unless like they're like, unless a marching band is notably bad, it all sounds the same to me.
Yeah, sure.
I do remember when, I think it was freshman year of high school, that's when Destiny's Child got back together for like one album.
Mm-hmm.
And that song, Lose My Breath, came out. Mm-hmm. And it was like, drum line. And,
yeah.
And like every high school band was playing that. Like, can you keep up?
I do remember being at a football game, which I normally didn't go to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we would always go to like the homecoming games every year because we were on the theater float.
Nerds.
Yeah. But but I remember standing next to the bleachers while the band is playing that. I remember that distinctly.
Yeah.
So random.
Yeah.
But yeah. Football band.
Well, let's circle back to being on the theater float. That was our thing. We didn't really do other extracurriculars in high school other than theater. Unless I'm forgetting something?
No.
No, I don't think we did. We had, like, always done, like, dance and Girl Scouts when we were younger, but had kind of gotten out of those things by the time high school came around. And I remember at our school, there were certain, like, oh, what do you call this? Elective classes, like, outside of, like, your core academic classes. There were a few different classes. I think it was, like, choir and theater, where I guess they only had, like, a certain amount of spots
mm-hmm.
in a class. And to be able to sign up for that class, you would have to go and see that teacher and basically ask them to sign a form for you to say that you could be in the class.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really understand how that worked because I don't think they were tracking it. I have no idea. But for whatever reason, you had to go and see that teacher
mm-hmm.
for a form. And I remember like eighth grade year going into high school. You're going to go into high school at ninth grade. And the middle school and the high school are right next door to each other. So you could just theoretically walk over there and meet the teacher. But Kara and I, oh my God, I think you'd agree. We were so immensely shy and quiet that like I remember we talked like I really want to take theater class, I really want to do that, but the fact that you had to go and talk to a teacher that you didn't know, it was just not going to happen.
I remember that a little differently.
What was it in your memory?
Eighth grade year, the guidance counselor would come around and she'd talk to each individual student, like each eighth grader, and kind of ask you what direction do you feel like you want to go in high school. And that's kind of where you would pick, are you going on a four-year college track? Are you...
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then from there, she would help you pick your electives. And she would counsel you as to whether or not she thought that was like a good route to go. You are thinking about the next year, once you're in high school, and you had to go get the signature from the teacher, which, no?
No, you had to do that for every year.
I don't think you did, but
you
okay.
did, because I remember you and I having the conversation at the end of freshman, you're like, okay, we're gonna do it. We didn't do it last year. We regret it. We wish we would have got started in ninth grade.
Yeah.
But, oh well, we're not gonna live in that fear anymore.
I do remember the guidance counselor telling me, though, specifically, she's like, I don't think theater's right for you because you're a little shy. I remember that conversation.
That is the dumbest thing I ever heard because, like, yeah, it's not gonna be right for every kid. And it could not be right for a shy kid. But, like, that's what broke me of that. Like,
mm-hmm.
I have no idea what would have happened to me if I hadn't gotten into theater.
Yeah.
Which, not to say that I am, like, in love with it, but, like, it put me on the path I'm on. Like, we definitely wouldn't be doing this podcast.
Hell yeah.
No. I think... Maybe we shouldn't. I think we, like, with today, what people know about, like, different, like, social disorders, probably not the right word, social afflictions or things like that, I truly think, and again, I'm not a doctor or a psychologist or anything like that, but I think they would have said that you and I were both selectively mute because, like, we mm-hmm. and had a lot of social anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we just simply could not speak in public. I don't mean, like, getting up and making a speech. I mean, like, hey, can you hand me that pencil? Like, the most simplest interactions would just strike terror. I would break out into, and we would talk about this and say we felt the same things. Mm-hmm. But like, I know I definitely would like break out into like a cold sweat, you know, if I mm-hmm. felt like I had to talk to somebody.
Yeah. It's like the way I looked at it back then is that, and not that we really had theater going on in middle school, but if we did, the way I probably would have looked at it is probably would have watched the kids be in a play or do a performance at an assembly or something. And I would want to do it and know that I could do it, mm-hmm. but would have been too afraid to go to my teacher and say, hey, can I get in on this?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's definitely. Like once I'm on stage, I could do it. But right. asking like, how do I get in?
Getting into it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God. Ugh. See, stuff like that, that's like, oh my God, I'm so glad I'm not there anymore.
Yeah, I am partially. Partially. Mm-hmm. I still have a ton of social anxiety.
Oh yeah, you too.
I still question like, oh, does this person really want me there? But then other times I'm like, no, I got this. I got it. You
it's
know,
weird. It's like kind it's of fluid.
Yeah, it's hit or miss. It's like, you know, opportunity by opportunity, I guess. But yeah, super shy, super shy. I was gonna say don't be offended, but that wouldn't make any sense. But I was gonna say I was way more shy than you.
I don't know. I felt like I don't know. I think I don't, because you actually had like friends in middle school for a time anyway. And I definitely
did.
In sixth grade, yeah.
Okay.
I did it like, and yeah, it was.
I'm wondering if people know who we are right now. I'm sorry, I just totally interrupted.
Well, I've been saying your name throughout, but you haven't said my name once.
Sorry, Kaylee.
But I think, like, I don't know if it was about being more shy or less shy between the two of us. I think, like, sometimes, like, the pressure would affect me in a way where you would, like, totally shut down, and to me, I would, like, okay, I'll talk if I have to, you know, but it didn't feel any less worse, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
It just, I think the pressure had different outcomes.
Right. Well, let's get back into our theater journey.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so we eventually get into, like, a theater class. We weren't, like, doing plays and stuff, but our theater teacher, I'm going to call her out, so lazy.
Yeah.
She was just not a good person, and we could tell some stories about that, maybe, but
I'm not even thinking about that at this juncture in my life.
Well, to me, a lot of it was formative.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely some formative fucking trauma. Like,
yeah, yeah.
But, you know.
There was great trauma and great triumphs, I'd say. Because I wouldn't say, like, looking back at that, I hated high school. There was definitely parts of high school that I hated. Like, the cafeteria I hated. Like, there were some years where I would get assigned to a lunch period where, like, the few little friends I had, you know, I would be with them and that would be awesome. And then there'd be other times where we all had different lunch periods and I basically didn't have anyone to sit with and it was a struggle and it was horrible. I hated that.
That happened to me a lot. But you get kids throw food at you?
Oh, yes. I specifically remember, like, kids throwing, I say kids, it was like this one group of, like, little white boys mm-hmm. that would, it was so dehumanizing to have food thrown at you.
Yeah. And also being so, and you know, people now are like, you should have got up and beat his ass. And it's like, yeah, but I was so afraid and scared and just, I thought that everybody was bigger and badder than me back in high school.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, like, they weirdly had some kind of power. We didn't have any kind of power that we knew of. I mean, like, we had internal power that we just didn't know how to access. Mm-hmm. But, like, socially, because, like, back then, too, like, you couldn't say, oh, so-and-so did this to me. Because, like, there was one kid who I remember, the main kid I remember throwing food at me, his mom was a teacher there. Mm. What could I have said? He would not have gotten in trouble. That would just have made him mad that he'd have to, like, talk to the principal and got a slap on the wrist, if that, you know? Mm-hmm. And then he would have made my life even worse hell, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there was no point of ever trying to bring attention to it. And we probably didn't even get it. We got it fairly bad, but we didn't get it the worst. So there was definitely kids, I'm sure, that got picked on, like, way worse than we did.
Yeah.
But that was kind of like my self-defense mechanism was, like, just lay low, don't make any ripples. The older I got, the better I got about that, mm-hmm. I think.
But theater. I was trying to steer us back. Sorry.
Well.
Sorry.
It's all relative, I think. But what we would do in theater class for the most part is we would play improv games.
Yeah.
I remember the day and the game were, like, my life changed in that moment, which is crazy to say.
And what was that?
We were playing the dating game, which was this game. If you ever watched Whose Line Is It Anyway, you've seen this game. But basically, it's three players who, it's like the old, you know, game show, the dating game, where mm-hmm. it's three potential dating hopefuls being interviewed by this one person who wants to maybe go on a date with one of these three people. In the improv game version, the three daters, they all know, they have an assigned personality or quirk or some kind of character, and the dater, the interviewer, doesn't know what that quirk is. They have to, like, go outside and, you know, while that's all being discussed, and come back in, and they have to guess by the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's so dumb. I was assigned, and we were made to play. Like, eventually everyone had to get up and do it.
Yeah, it was, you did not have an option to sit out all the time. Right. Some kids would, like, very enthusiastically, like, yeah, I'll play, you know, all the time. But,
and that was me eventually, but definitely not at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I was dying to, but was just too afraid.
Yeah.
The character I was assigned was addicted to the Disney Channel, which is so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember they asked me a question, and, like, instead of, like, choosing to answer the question, I would just, like, do some kind of bit, like, making a reference to, like, That's a Raven and, like, Zack and Cody and all these, like, shows that were popular at the time. And I remember people, like, falling. I think part of it was that it was funny, but I think it was the shock that it was me.
Yeah.
This quiet, timid person that they didn't know could be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, people would beg. And this sounds like I'm, like, making this up, or I'm, like, being, like, egotistical, but people would literally beg for me to get up and play improv.
You're a good improver.
I love it.
You always have been, and that's Kaylee.
Thank you.
You're a great improver. I'm not.
I think you are. You're definitely hilarious. But I don't know. What do you feel like is not the thing that connects for you with
it's
improv?
It's my brain. And again, everything performance-based. Well, I should not say that. It would be greatly selling myself short. But I do feel like in a lot of areas, I'm very hit or miss. And I feel like that with improv. I'm definitely a writer. I have a writer's brain. I like to edit. I like to take my time. And everybody should be thrown, you know, on their feet every now and then, you know.
Yeah.
It's a good growth tool. It's not my strong point. I can write a sketch. I can write a little script. I can, like, do all that. I love to edit myself. I love to put words on paper. And that thinking on my feet, I really struggle. You know, I was talking to you about this recently, about in our Pop Divas episode.
Mm-hmm.
You asked me, what's your favorite Whitney Houston song? And I'm like,
Who's Whitney Houston?
Yeah. It's like, even little things like that, my brain goes blank. And it's not even that I feel a huge pressure. Like, I know you don't have a knife at my throat.
Well.
Tell me what song you love.
Typically I do, but I forgot that day.
You did. But my brain goes blank sometimes. And, yeah, but anyway, you're a great improver, and yes.
Well, thank you. And you're a great sketch, and you are a great writer, and I thank you for clarifying that, because that makes so much sense to me. And for me, it's like, if I sit there and try to edit or plan it out, it will never happen. So I like to just throw it out and see what happens, and sometimes it's going to fail, it's going to fail big, and sometimes it's going to work, and it's going to hit big.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. I never really thought about the difference in how our brains work in that way.
Yeah.
But if we could only combine our forces. Damn.
Yeah.
But we did used to write plays together. Do you remember that?
In high school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got so... It was clear that we took it the most seriously. Like, we had fun with it. Like, it wasn't like we were, like, sucking the fun out of it. But we were like, oh, we actually want to do this.
Yeah. I remember the thing I took away... Well, I took many things away, but from high school theater, and we were so involved. Like, anytime there was a show, anytime we were there, we were in it in some way, shape, or form. We always did cheesy ass musicals, and
yeah.
Listeners of this podcast know I'm not a singer.
You can hit a few notes.
I can carry a tune in a bucket. I don't know what that is. See, I'm not a good improver. But I was not a confident singer. I'm still not a confident singer. I was not going to get cast as, you know, let's say Belle in Beauty and the Beast. It just was not going to be a thing.
You could on your looks.
Thanks.
Your pretty face. And don't underestimate the power of body language. That's Little Mermaid, but sorry.
Yeah. Wait, what was I saying now?
Musicals. We always did musicals.
Oh, okay.
We were cast like in a lead role because right. We weren't like trained singers or anything.
We were involved, and time and time again, I do remember other kids, like, I feel so weird talking about this. I'm not trying to relive, but yeah, we would get passed over because these are just shows
they weren't for us.
They weren't for us.
Yeah.
They were for these other
kids.
But
it's all we were doing, which sucked.
And it's like I instinctively knew. It was like I liked a lot of the other kids. Like, don't get me wrong. But I could look around the room, look around the auditorium, and be like, none of these kids are going to do theater in 10 years.
They didn't care.
No.
Yeah. Which is fine.
And I don't know what they're doing, but I don't think they're doing theater.
But that was the thing. And that was like why I said like our teacher's behavior was like formative in a way. Because it was like, she was like weirdly friends with her students in a way that was
inappropriate.
It was inappropriate. Like, and she would like invite people over to her house and stuff.
Anyway,
and, like,
let's not get into all that. But
I mean, I'm just saying. But yeah, it was clear that like, I don't know. Like, if you have a student that's like truly showing like their dedication and they're always there, even if they get like a little part or something, like. A good teacher would foster that and encourage that and say, hey, you know, the last 5 shows we did were all musicals and this person's not a singer. Maybe we should do something that highlights their talents or mm-hmm. something. Because, mm-hmm. like, we had talent. It wasn't like we were, like, sucked. I mean, we probably did suck, but not... We weren't worse than anybody else, you know?
No.
We were probably better than a lot of them, you know, just because we cared more. And
yeah.
We each had a sense of humor and, I think, some comedic timing and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That not everyone had. But yeah, it's like every time I would like try to express, and both of us I think found ourselves in the situation, we would try to like express like, hey, we really want to do this and we really want a bigger part in the next show or whatever, and like, uh-huh, yeah, actually I'm gonna give it to this kid who buys me breakfast every morning. Or like,
I gotta stop saying literally. I do remember that being a thing.
Yeah. And too, like, she would, like, encourage her favorite students to literally skip their other classes to come hang out with her.
Yeah, very problematic teacher.
Very problematic.
I don't want to relive all that to an extent.
No. But it did make, and almost like in a way, like, I'm not thankful to her because I think she did, like, traumatize me. But I am thankful for the experience and the resilience it showed me and towards like reaching for your goals, because like I don't think anyone who went to high school with is still doing it, which is fine. Like, if they've all found their thing, like, I'm glad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's mm-hmm. what I'm saying is that the rejection that you and I constantly faced, and I know, and again, no offense to them, and happy if they found their. I don't keep in touch with anybody from high school really.
No, not really.
But I know, and back then I did keep in touch. I know that several of the kids that we did high school theater with, this feels so silly to be talking about this, I know that they went off to college just like we did,
mm-hmm.
auditioned for shows, didn't get in, and had never faced that before, didn't know what that rejection felt like, and then just never did it again.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I wanted, yes, and that's kind of why I wanted to talk about that, because, like, I don't think we have that many, like, teenage listeners, but I feel like... I relive or think about this time in my life, what I realize is like, oh, the people that always have it easy, they don't have any built up, like, they don't know how to handle it when it doesn't go
their
way.
It's very bizarre to watch.
It is, because it's like, oh, wow, they must have something special, or, oh, wow, they're more likable. That's what it always came down to, like, oh, I must not be likable, because mm-hmm. I know I have things to offer on stage. So, therefore, I must just not be likable. Nobody likes me, and that's why they don't want to put me in their show or whatever. And I can't sing. But, yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to talk about, was because I don't know if there's anyone who's like dealing with that in some form. The parts of your life that feel the shittiest or the hardest, or like you're facing the most rejection, it's gonna lead you to something. Even if it's like you don't end up in the same thing that you think you want,
mm-hmm.
it's gonna give you something.
Yeah. You know, like a positive. I'm gonna turn the wheel here. I think back now, and even like, you know, college, because, all right, so you and I, Kaylee, were theater majors in college, like yeah. that's, and we still, you know, to an extent work in, not even to an extent, we work in entertainment, you know.
Yeah, not theater in the traditional sense so much now. But. Right.
But back then, the signs were all there that, like, you mentioned very briefly, and we kind of got away from it. You and I were writing the plays when we did get opportunities to present original mm-hmm. shows. And I remember, like, there would be another person or two helping out with that. But
no, I remember one example. The main one we wrote, there was three people assigned to write it, and it was just you and I. The other person, like, just got their name tagged onto it, but they did sure. not help. And okay. that play was called How the Mafia Stole Christmas. Which was not the class chose the title and the theme, and we just had to write the script.
I don't remember if the person helped or not.
They did not.
I have no idea. I'm not even gonna, who cares? You know.
But it was just that, it was always that. We obviously cared more.
But that's what I do now.
Yeah.
Although I'm writing plays a lot less. I'm trying to write other things. But all that stuff was there.
Yeah.
And I just didn't even realize, like, oh, I'm bringing this into adulthood with me. It's just an observation. I don't even know what that means, but.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, it's so weird that they make teenagers decide all these things that are going to have a major effect on their future when it's like, you're still a jelly-headed little kid. Like, it's a matter of you're 17, 18. You know nothing, and you have no idea where you're going to land. Mm-hmm. And yet, like, you're being forced to, where are you going to go? Now I'm getting tongue-tied. Jeez-a-loo. Maybe I'm referring back to days before I felt like I could cuss.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, where are you going to go to college? Are you going to go to college? What's going to be your job? What are you going to study? What are you going to do this? Blah, blah, blah. Are you going to get married? Are you going to have kids? Blah, blah, blah. Like, all this stuff like that.
Yeah. It's like, it's ma'am, insane. I am a child.
Exactly. It's crazy. And, like, so many people don't end up. And, like, even, like, when, like, we're in our 30s now. Who knows where we're going to land? And even, like, you know, theater specifically. And, like, a moment ago, I clarified not doing theater so much in, like, the traditional sense. Like, I was, for, like, the past 10 years, doing theater and auditioning for plays and focusing on that. And then, like, over the pandemic, I was like, I don't want to do that anymore. It's not why I love doing plays and I love making plays and being involved. The industry of, like, professional theater and the...
It's sick and twisted.
It is, yeah. And it really is, though.
No, I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, but, like, there's just so much wrong with... And, like, me particularly being in this place where, like, I completely recognize that I look like a white woman to most people that see me. It's not a cultural identity that I can really understand. I feel like casting directors didn't know what to do with me because mm-hmm. I would get cast in these parts and, like, I would know, like, oh, this part is not right for me. I don't understand this experience. And, like, that's kind of what acting is. But, like, the more you can bring to it from your own experience, the richer your performance is going to be and the more comfortable it's going to be to, like, step into those shoes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just started reflecting on, like, how toxic, particularly, like, I was gonna say, the community I live in is, like, particularly very toxic. And, like, I was like, I don't want to do that anymore. I'd rather just write my own stuff. And that's what I've been doing. And
mm-hmm.
coming up with my own characters and focusing more on comedy. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to be a stand-up comic, per se. I'll like, maybe do that and try that a little bit more. I've done the tiniest little bit. But... yeah, finding comedy was, like, it's kind of like what it was like when I found theater. It was life-changing,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that may shift. Who knows? Like, yeah, I want to be, like, a comedic actress. And I in high school, I was always cast in these, like, goofy roles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I really resented it because I wanted to be, like, oh, I want to be the lead. I want to be, you know, the one that everyone's in love with. And I never got those kind of roles. And I was always, like, the big goofy dumb head. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, you were doing a lot better than me. I'm sorry. Well, like, as far as, like, the roles we got cast in, you know.
A half step, maybe.
A half step. Okay, wait, so... Well, you played Mike, was it Mike TV's mom in Charlie the Chocolate Factory? Yeah. And I'm playing fucking Grandma Georgina laid up in the bed with curlers in my head and terrible high school old age makeup. And you were not a half step above me. You were.
That is a half step.
Oh, come on.
Because, I mean, it's what? It's Willy. It's Charlie, Willy Wonka, the rest of the kids' parents, the grandparents.
All right.
Now, come on now.
No, come on now.
But
hold on, I'm so sorry.
No, go for it.
I love that SNL sketch where it's Crucible Cast Party.
Yes,
that is Crucible the funniest shit.
It's so true.
It's yeah. So accurate. I especially like Vanessa Bayer. I actually watched that this morning. But she's talking about how she wants to flirt with the guy, but she doesn't know how. And so she's like, "So I'm gonna take his hat from him and just sort of walk around." It's so accurate. That's like how the high school
painfully
kids do.
Awkward. Do you remember crushes and stuff you had in high school?
Yeah. Well, I didn't really have a lot of serious crushes in high school. That's crazy. I'm struggling to even think of one.
I can't think of any that you had. You had to have had some.
I know I must have, but
I don't remember who they were, though, or what it was.
There was definitely guys I thought were really cute, but not really
dateable.
I wasn't all in. I didn't really feel like we were allowed to date, if that was even a thing.
It was just never mentioned, but yeah.
I was so scared,
we didn't date in high school.
No, we didn't.
Listeners.
Yeah, but there really wasn't a lot of guys I would have been into in high school, I don't know.
There was a few that I was in love with, so foolishly, and thankfully nothing ever came from that, because looking back, I'm like, oh, they were complete assholes, and I just thought, no, they must be so nice. No, they were not nice.
Yeah, I can't remember. I definitely had a lot of celebrity crushes back then. Oh, which I always have.
Yeah.
We already know this. Yeah, no, that's really weird. There just wasn't a good variety. No offense.
What about fashion or clothes?
Well,
or looks?
That brings me to something I wanted to bring up. I want to talk about who we were as people in high school. Shy, yeah. But legitimately, and I saw this movie as a kid before high school, but when I watched Romy and Michelle's high school reunion, that was us.
Kara.
We were Romy. I was Romy. And you're Michelle.
I was going to say that same thing.
Well, it's accurate.
We were really close, obviously, and best friends, and totally high schoolers.
Totally out of necessity. Sorry. Go ahead.
We used to talk about that. Do you think we'd be each other's friends if we weren't sisters? I'm not asking. I'm saying we used to ask each other that.
Yeah.
And I think the answers would sometimes change. Anyway, Romy and Michelle, that was so us, because we were our own kind of weird duo, where some people I think thought we were cool because we were doing our own thing, and then other people thought oh, those twins are just weird.
Yeah,
why are they dressed like that? Because we would the older we got, especially we started, not to say it looks good looking back, but we definitely had our own styles.
Oh, we turned it out.
We did
every day.
I don't think it aged well.
No,
but at the time, I remember people being like, "Oh my god, I wish I could dress like you." You dress.
People did.
Yeah,
people did. People would go, and this is not I just want to clarify. We did not have a lot of money.
No,
we were thrift shopping. We were, occasionally throwing a Ross or a TJ Maxx situation.
Literally the cheapest options.
Yeah,
and only clearance when we go.
Yeah,
places like that. Yeah,
yeah. But I remember kids coming back to school. I'm like, I got this shirt because I thought it was something, it would be something you would wear.
I remember somebody saying that to you. Yeah.
Yeah. We were the style icons
style
of the school.
Style icons. Which is crazy because but I think that's.
Look at us now.
I think part of that. Yeah, well, I think part of that came from the shyness because, I was always drawn to artistic things, artistic expression. And clothing, and seeing movies like Clueless or Romy and Michelle, and people that embraced expressing themselves through their clothes, because I was never into fashion per se.
Right.
Like what's trending in fashion? It was never about like trends for me and like mm-hmm. adhering to what everyone else was wearing for the most part.
Wait. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I'll come back to this. Go ahead. Sorry.
But I was like so... But that was... If I wasn't going to be able to express myself, you know, outside of a character on stage, that was the only other place I had to express myself. Mm-hmm. Doing it through my clothes was the next best option. I got into... No, keep in mind, I said we graduated in 2008. I got really into Madonna in high school about 20 years after the fact. And what I would do, this is crazy, I had this weird rule for myself in high school where it's like, I will never wear a single layer as a top. There has to be at least two layers. And so, like, I couldn't just wear a t-shirt. I would have to have, like, a strategically chosen long sleeve mm-hmm. shirt. Like, maybe, like, a lace long sleeve shirt underneath a t-shirt. It's so bad. But the thing I got really into wearing after, like, I got into Madonna in high school was, I would go to like Ross or Marshall's or things like that and buy these like really shitty corsets like from the lingerie section. Obviously you can't wear that to school, so what I would do, it's so bad. I would put on a t-shirt that had like a matching color mm-hmm. and then wear that over the t-shirt.
I remember I did it a couple times too, but that was more your thing. Wait, what did I dress like in high school?
You had, I'm trying to like think of like specific outfits. I feel like you definitely had like a lot of like cool accessories and jewelry and things like that.
Yeah.
Like you had like really quirky like all your like jewelry like you had like cheeseburger earrings and like all your stuff looked like things but like objects.
And I'm still into that. I don't have a lot of things like that now, but I love jewelry that looks like food.
Yeah.
I love a purse that looks like a box of movie theater popcorn.
I do love that stuff.
Yeah. I don't know why. It's just really cute to me. I remember, like, I used to wear some, like, you know, like, kind of typical, like, you know, like, rocker shirts. Like, rocker tees. Yeah. But, and I dressed sort of similarly to you, but I also wore a lot of, like, really, like, bold colors, I think. Is that a thing?
Probably. I don't really remember.
I don't know, but... I just remember we dressed differently. What I was going to say when I interrupted you earlier, there was a girl who was several years older than us. And I always remember, even back in elementary school.
I know what you're talking about. Just you saying this.
She was a style fucking icon. Like, and she didn't give a fuck about like what other kids had to say. But she always had the most unusual, beautiful, like combinations of, she would wear like this, you know, a tattered dress and these like knee-high stockings and combat boots. And, you know, she might have on like a bright, and I don't even know like how she was allowed to wear this because our school was stupidly strict, but
they were very strict.
She'd have like a bright, long, like purple wig on.
I remember that. I remember this girl. Cause yeah, I think we went to like all the same schools and yeah, she was like maybe like 2 years older than us.
Yeah.
But I remember like being in elementary school and seeing her class walk by one time. We were like playing outside and she had on like, she would have had to have been, like, in fifth grade. But she had on, like, boots that went up to the knee, which, like, probably not appropriate for a fifth grader. Yeah. But I was thinking, like, oh, my God. I want to... And she had, like, a leopard print dress on. I was like,
yeah.
I want to dress like that.
She was... And I remember she would walk up the hallway and other kids would be like, what the F is that girl wearing?
Exactly. It's jealous. Like,
she looked phenomenal.
She looked so cool.
She turned it out. Like, that school was her runway. Every day, and this is a random memory I remember.
So unapologetic.
Yeah. I lived for her style. Mm-hmm. I lived for it. And I feel like she was like, and not that we ever copied her, because she had a different style than us.
Yeah. She was more like alternative dressing.
Right. But I remember her vibes and her like, this is me. Like, and just never even... She never heard the negative talk about, you know what I mean?
No, because like, she knew she was fabulous.
Right, exactly. But... I always admired her for that. Never knew her, really. Just kind of saw her around. Always just thought that girl was cool as hell. We were, like, the younger version of her, I do believe. I remember in college, it must have been, we went to New York.
Yes, I remember this.
We were in New York City. We're on the subway. And we look down the subway car. And there's a girl, like, staring at us. And we're staring back. And it's, like, a disconnect of, like... Where do I know this person from?
And then like, it's that girl.
We later realized it was that girl we went to school with. in New York.
Yeah, and I don't think we ever, I never spoke to her. I feel like I have a vague memory of what her name was, but I'm not even sure.
Yeah.
But I could tell, I was like, oh, you recognize us. We recognize you.
Yeah, it was a moment. Yeah.
I don't even know if I recognize her today. I probably wouldn't.
No, I definitely wouldn't.
Don't remember exactly what she looks like. But if I ever saw her or like somehow like ran into her or something and knew it was her, I would like literally thank her because that was like a crazy influence.
Yeah. Like, yeah. yes. And God, yeah, I just thought that girl was so fucking cool. When I saw her in New York, I was like, yeah, this makes sense. You belong here.
I don't know if she was visiting like us or if she lived
there. To me, she looked like she was living and breathing in the entire city and still stomping the halls. Like, you know what I mean? She looked like she's stomping the streets of New York. I swear. I believe
that she was living there.
Oh, I believe she was living in New York at the time and we just happened to see her on the subway.
All of this conversation just reminded me of something.
What?
Kara. You had a superlative.
I did.
In high school. It was weird because our school senior year, for whatever reason, they did two different rounds of superlatives. And mm-hmm. one round was in the yearbook. And that was stuff like best couple, best smile, or stupid, like most school spirit. Who gives a fuck? and then they did like an other round that just appeared in the school newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why they did that.
They claimed that round was supposed to be the silly round. Like, it was like a joke. But it wasn't, the votes weren't a joke. It was supposed to be the categories were supposed to be funny, but they weren't.
They were more fun.
They were more lighthearted.
Yeah. But you were voted most likely to become famous.
I was. And am I famous? Not really. But yeah, I got most likely to be famous. And I have done some noteworthy things.
You have.
But, and will do more.
Your name has appeared in print.
I'm on an upward trajectory, I do believe.
I feel that too, for both of us.
I do, yes.
I feel good about it.
Yes.
And I think we just need to ride this wave.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of that, I actually feel like this conversation has been, like, very therapeutic. Like, it's actually, like, been good to, like, revisit. Because, like, I felt so shitty about myself at that time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And often, I mean, I do a lot better now, but I often feel shitty about myself in this time in my life. And so it stands to reason, one day I'm going to look back and think like, man, I wish I could tell myself how cool I was, okay, you know?
Yeah, in the car earlier, you know that Summer of 69 song, like Bryan Adams, I think?
Yeah. Jody got married.
Okay. That song was playing, so a little while ago before I started recording, I went and picked you up from, we met up and I picked you up, I brought you back here.
This sounds so sketchy, but yes.
It's fine.
It's not.
It's not sketchy. But on the way there, that song was on, and like, I almost started crying because I was thinking about how you just don't, and it's not like, no, high school wasn't the best days of my life.
No.
But
I'm
there's
sorry
some,
for anyone who it was, but.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
But there is a thing looking back on your youth, or even like I'm starting now to look back at my 20s and where I was and who mm-hmm. I was around, and like getting nostalgic for the good parts of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now this part in my life, and I'm hoping I'll have something like this again, but you know, it's like you can't go home again, things change. But that electricity you have just hanging out with your friends and being at ease and forming yourself in a way, like, it's like, oh my God, the days slip so fast and you don't even realize it.
They do, but that never really goes away. As long as like you're constantly looking to evolve, like it will happen. Like if you say like, okay, I'm good, this is who I am, this is where I'm gonna be, this is my life. Some people I think do that, that's fine. I think that's cool.
Wait,
and they probably have less anxiety.
Okay. I don't know if we're talking about the same thing. But maybe I just don't understand you. But like, you know, okay, so like I am around all young people. I'll mm-hmm. say that's a, when I say young people, I mean like, you know, 22, you know, around that. And I'm just thinking like, God, I remember when I was 22 and I remember like how I thought the world worked at that moment. And I'm just like, I'm just rooting for these, not kids, but for these people. And it's just, I don't know. It's just an interesting spot because it's like in your 30s, you're at a point where like, wow, I remember the fun we used to have and the laughs we used to have and, you know, with your friends, but you know more of that's coming. It's just kind of like a weird intersection
live at. It gets more complicated because people's lives change drastically. Yep. Like, and you're not, there's like, when you're younger, there's a template where you're all in school together, you know, and it's like, oh, we all hang out because we all see each other every day or whatever. Like, and it just gets different as you get older. Sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. Oh, I have one thing I want to circle back to. What's but before I go to that, if you could tell your high school self something, what advice would you give to your high school self if you could?
Well, a big thing I think, not just my high school self, but also my 20s self, I was taking myself way too seriously. Mm. Way too seriously. And letting go of that has been the difference in my life. And now, you know, not that like I'm like, oh my god, I feel so sorry for these people, but you know, I do, like, I look at people that are still like grasping, you know, so tight to things in their life that I'm like, oh, you know, that's really not, you know, and things do feel like a big deal. Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. But yeah, I took myself way too damn seriously. I leaned really hard out of what I think I was actually meant to do. You know, I leaned really hard away from writing or away from my real, true creative brain in favor of, well, I think I'll try to be an actor and I think I'll try to be a dramatic actor. And, you know, and that's all well and good and fun, but that's not really what I was meant to do. I could do it, but it wasn't what I was, you know what I'm saying?
I do.
Anyway, yeah, long story long. I would tell myself not to take myself so damn seriously.
Yeah, yeah, but it wasn't for no reason. Like, I think, you know, I think you faced a lot of, like, unfair criticism because you were kind of, like, different, you know?
Explain.
Like, you were never going to be the bubbly girl who was, like, gonna go along with everything if you didn't think it was right. And I think people in your life, in your formative years, particularly like outside of our family and things, like when we go to school or in our group of friends or whatever, people would criticize you in a way that I think would cause you to defend yourself. I think like it built up, you know? Yeah. And like part of it is like your own responsibility where you have to like, okay, I'm not gonna do that, I'm not gonna let it affect me. But it's not for no reason.
Yeah, I do feel like I've gotten... In my, yeah, I'll say in my formative years, I did get, and I never thought about that until just now, until you just said it, I did get a lot of criticism on my personality.
Yeah.
And it's like, where do you go from that? Because I'm not a typical, I don't even know, like...
Well, just like, you presented in like this like feminine package, like you would dress very femininely and stuff, and then you have this like energy of like being very strong, and like... You were not mean. You were always very nice, but like you also like didn't take shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and people thought I was mean. Me not taking shit from people made people think I was a major bitch. And you
know, it was only because like I'm just gonna say these are mostly like white people that would have that. You know, like it was like this like, well, you're not doing what I want you to do, and so I don't like you, like that kind of thing, which is not, I never thought was like fair. Yeah. And I always thought you got that way worse than I did. I got it a little bit, but...
I feel I was always misunderstood.
Yeah.
I didn't even always understand myself. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a little bit of a disconnect. Definitely over the last 10 years, I would say, like, I started to crumble to people's criticism.
Yeah.
And I started to, you know, I've mentioned on here before, like, I used to have some major self-esteem issues, probably dated some people I shouldn't have, who, you know, I won't go into that, but... You know, I really started to just, like, if all this criticism is going to be piled on me, I might as well just start accepting it. Yeah. And that's really not what I needed to do.
Right. And it's not even a conscious thought like that. Like, yeah, it's not. It builds over time.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, that was a long-winded way of saying, don't take yourself too seriously. And I don't anymore. I truly don't. I've let go of so much.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've noticed that.
Yeah. You've felt refreshed lately.
Yeah, thank you.
And
I'm
you,
proud of you.
Et tu,
Kaylee?
What would I tell my teenage self? Mm-hmm. I would say, find what makes you special because you have it. You have special things about you.
If I dream.
Sorry. And hone those things. And don't listen for even a second to anybody who makes you feel like you don't have something special to offer.
Yeah.
Because I did a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like I was talking about earlier, where I was always getting cast in as these goofy characters and these comedic characters. And in that, I really don't think people ever took me seriously. Like, anytime I ever tried to express, like, you know, I had, like, raging depression, no one ever, like, wanted to go anywhere near that if I ever tried to, like, you know, express my needs with my mental health or anything like that.
Yeah.
They just wanted me to be the fun, goofy girl. I always, like, refer to it as, like, a Robin Williams type thing, where it's, like, people didn't like me if I wasn't, like, trying to, like, be goofy and try to make people laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went, like, hard the opposite direction. Well, I just want to be a dramatic actor, kind of like what you were saying, too. And I just want to do, like, dramas and things like that. And it's, like, I still love doing that. I love the challenge of that. But, like, my skills, I have a certain set of skills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I wish I would have spent these past 15 years honing them instead of making people think, like, oh, well, you can only do these things that we say you can do. And if you don't do them that way, then we're not really interested in you and blah, 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 blah. And it's, like,
yeah.
And some of that I could have, like, listened to and thought, like, oh, you're telling me I'm good at this thing. And instead of, like, rebelling against that, I should listen to that. And if you tell me, like, oh, but you're not capable of this other thing, that's not true either, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I wish I would have done that.
Yeah.
The thing I wanted to circle back to, just random, I just popped in my head. Because I was thinking, like, we've been talking this whole time. Obviously, I try to bring some kind of, like, indigenous thing to every episode where I can. And we've been talking for a long time, so I don't want to talk too long. But high school was when, like, I feel like I first started looking white.
Yeah, yeah.
That was weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think my brain ever adjusted. I mean, obviously, when you look like a white person and you have proximity to whiteness and in whatever way that may occur, you have white privilege. And you and I definitely have white privilege. And it was weird to shift from being a brown kid to being a white kid.
Mm-hmm.
That was weird.
It is weird. And I still don't have a grasp on it, really.
No. Yeah, it's something I've been trying to explore within myself more. And, like, how did that change, that physical change, how did that affect me? Because I'm just starting to peel back the layers on that. But I was also going to say, do you remember that assignment we had to do in geometry class?
Jeez. Yes, I do. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Sakatoa. So, I don't know, some of y'all may have seen that teacher who was she fired ultimately? I think so.
I don't know.
But there was a teacher, I think in California this past year, who caused all this controversy because she put on, like, this, like, feather headdress and was, like, doing these quote-unquote Native-inspired chants, and so it was really, really offensive. We did that same assignment in our geometry
class.
Well,
a lot of classes, all growing up, it would have a fucked up, cartoonized, you know, Native-inspired spin on a dumb, like, a geometry assignment. Like, what the fuck does that have to
do? Because the thing was, like, it was to teach us, like, some kind of, like, formula.
Yeah.
And what we had to do is we had to make a paper headband and then have three feathers out of, like, construction paper. And each feather, we would write one of the three formulas.
Mm-hmm.
And just goes to show you how well it worked, because I don't remember them.
Yeah. Which also, high school, like, I'm all for a construction paper project, but we were a little beyond that at that point.
I definitely remember thinking, like, not only is this offensive, and I was too shy and scared to say anything.
It's extremely juvenile.
It was very juvenile, yeah. But the worst part, in addition to having to do that, was we had to wear them, and we had to also come up with our own Indian name. Yep. You remember that?
Yeah. I remember having to do that a few times in school, but that one in particular, yeah.
And we were like 15. This is insane.
Do you remember how I got into it with the teacher?
No.
And I actually really loved that teacher.
She was a sweet lady. I remember being like, because I loved her as a teacher.
Yeah.
Like, she was like one of my favorite teachers. And, like, that's, that for me to say that about a math teacher is huge.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I hated
super,
math.
Super sweet. But she was walking around, like, checking on everybody, or, like, are you working on this? Are you following the steps I'm giving you? And I used to sit right in front of her little overhead projector, yeah.
Yeah.
And she gets to me, and she's like, why haven't you written anything down? Like, for my Indian name. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I don't need one.
And got one.
Yeah, and she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, and people were like, you know, doing like silly joke names, which was the point of the project. I wrote down Kara.
Like, which, good for you.
I wrote down Kara, and she was like, no, that's your name. I was like, I'm Indian. I can put my fucking name as my, quote, Indian name.
And this was a school that had a decent-sized Native population.
Yeah. I mean, it was just that nostalgic, cartoonish fucking brand of racism.
Crazy. I remember, like, feeling so ashamed. Like, just feeling, like, so embarrassed doing that project, mm-hmm. but feeling like I had to do it, and not even knowing, like, oh, you can stand up to your teacher and say I'm not doing that. Like, it didn't even occur to me. It was like, mm-hmm. oh, well, I guess this just has to be embarrassing and painful for me, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't remember, because we happened to be in that same class,
mm-hmm.
But I don't remember if there were other Native kids in that class or not. I just don't remember.
I don't either. I don't know.
I mean, God, it was like 15 years ago. I remember I had mine, which this might also be problematic. I don't know. But mine was Princess Sailor Moon. I just remember everyone was putting, like, stereotypical, like, they're putting, like, princess stuff or little blah, 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 like, jeez, you know, so yeah. stupid. But I was like, I don't like doing this. I like Sailor Moon. And I can't put just Sailor Moon, so I'll put, like, princess as, like, a prefix. But anyway, that, and there was some other, like, I remember one time we were reading, like, what was it, Robinson Crusoe? Or, well, like, one of those stories where, mm-hmm. like, somebody ends up on an island and there's Native or indigenous people on the island. I remember this one guy, we were reading that book in class, and it was like senior year of high school, and like the person in the story used the word savages, and we're like, this is uncomfortable. But then it got worse when this one kid was like, savages, you mean like Indians? And we were not the only Native people in that class, and I remember like every like Native kid in that class were like, what do you say?
Well, he kept on with it, and then he kept, I remember that kid would like, he genuinely loved to participate in class, you know? Yeah.
Didn't really add to the conversation, but he loved participating.
Yeah, which honestly, aside from the shit he was saying, is an admirable quality.
Right.
But yeah, I just remember he kept kind of like, mixing Indians and savages, and I just remember there was one guy, like a Native kid, who was a
big guy.
Yeah. Like, it was like, guy. I was like, he's about to Hulk out at any minute. And the kid who was the participator,
you could tell was not making any connection.
He was like, well, why is that guy? Why is his desk shaking? But yeah.
Why is my arm being ripped off?
The high school desk's nostalgic.
Ugh. Nostalgic. Not great memory for you. Yeah. But yeah, stuff like that. Just like little things like that. Yeah. I remember it was a weird time in terms of identity for me, for sure. But yeah.
Yeah. Sort of mostly behind us now. I don't think about high school.
No. I don't think about that much. Occasionally something will remind me, but like, God knows the things I've forgotten could fill a hat.
Okay.
That was the first unit of measurement I could think of was a hat. That's not a unit of measurement.
Got about three.
The things
apples.
I've forgotten in these years since could fill an ocean. How about that?
Sure. But hey, at least we had each other.
Which, thank goodness. And we survived.
Yeah.
And we grew.
We did do that. We did grow.
Physically and figuratively. Yeah. Anything.
Didn't we, old girl?
Anything else you want to say about any of that?
If you're in high school, we wish you luck. And don't take yourself too seriously. If the haters are going to hate, just blow right past them.
It's going to get better. I promise. It's going to get better.
Yeah. And I don't know where my brain is.
Well,
should we audition for a High School Musical right now?
We're auditioning for a High School Musical or for High School Musical?
A High School Musical.
Okay.
All right. What are we doing? Grease?
Sure. We did Grease in high school, by the way. I played Cha-Cha.
And I played a nameless member of the band in the dance scene.
But You looked good.
Well, you know.
And you did the costumes for that show, and they were amazing.
That was the thing. I always was like, and you were too, but like I always had a hand in something else.
Yeah. I did advertising. I would make flyers and stuff.
Yep. You did. All right. Here's my audition for Rizzo in Grease.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, God. Whenever you're ready, Miss Morrison.
I'm in high school. You're not calling me Miss Morrison.
Whenever you're ready, Kara, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you're ready.
That's my name. Can I have an assist with the lyrics?
That's typically not what we do, but sure, since you're a child.
Since this is a free production I'm participating in with no pay.
Well, it's a school production. I don't know why you expect that. That would actually be illegal and wrong and inappropriate. But there are worse things I could do than go with a boy or two.
Okay. There are worse things I could do than to go with a boy or two. Even though the neighborhood thinks I'm trashy and no good, I suppose it could be true. Why, there are worse things I could do.
Thank you. We're going to go in a different direction. Okay, okay. Reverse roles, really quick.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Are we still doing Grease?
You mean...
What?
That's another reason why I'm not going to improv, is because I just crack up laughing. You mean to tell me you don't know what you're here to audition for?
No, I literally saw the word audition on the flyer, and I came running because I care that much about acting, and I'm happy to play whatever you want me to play.
Hmm. Okay, well, we actually are doing a production of The Little Mermaid. Are you comfortable wearing skates?
I was actually a skating champion all throughout my childhood, so I would love that.
Because we do require the sea animals and the mer people to wear skates, to pretend that they are swimming. Do you understand?
I do, and I think that's a really exciting concept. I can't wait to see it happen, hopefully be a part of
it. And what role would you like to audition for?
I think Ariel would be fun, but...
You think? You don't know?
I can't speak from experience, but I imagine it to
be. So let's see it.
Okay. I'm also happy to audition for Ursula as well, whichever you think is better for me.
You do whatever you like. We're low on time. There are lots of auditionees behind you.
I can see that, and congrats on the great turnout. All right, here I go.
What would I give to live where you are? What would I pay to stay here beside you? What would I do to see you smiling at me? Where would we walk? Where would we run? If we could stay all day in the sun. Just you and me, and I could be part of your world.
Thank you.
Okay. Callie, was it?
It's Kaylee.
We just had a Kara in here that blew us away. And I'm really sorry to tell you. The best we can do for you, probably Flounder.
Oh my God, I love Flounder.
But Flounder in the death scene?
Wait, death scene? Where Ursula dies?
What death scene? What production is this? We're doing Little Mermaid, the dark version.
Oh, like closer to the original Hans Christian Andersen tale.
Precisely. So we're going to go with Kara on this one.
That's great. Kara's amazing. I mean, Kara is actually how you pronounce her name. And
she told us Kara.
Knowing Kara and how respectful she is, I think she would have a hard time correcting you, but I'm happy to speak on her behalf.
You didn't inherit from your parents, I see.
No.
Well, why don't you skate your little ass right out of this audition?
Okay. And I have been recording this the whole time, and we'll be showing this to the superintendent.
Shit, I forgot about cell phones.
They're an invention now.
Right. Right. And I'll be back in a minute. I'm going to just go talk to the principal about resigning.
Okay. Oh, I guess in that case, until we meet again.
Until we meet again.